The Pelosi setup, Elon Musk gets the wrong kind of praise, Biden's speech, and Stacey Abrams' threat. This is the Propaganda Report. I'm Brad Binkley. Joining me this evening is the prolific skull collector, Cam Harless. Cam, full of skulls in the background. I love it. Very spooky looking, even though we're headed towards Christmas.
Technically, you can just see two right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I
know what's outside of the frame of the picture, and there's just skulls up to the ceiling.
There is a third one up there if I go up, and then there's this guy.
Oh gosh.
Just hanging out.
Is that a relative?
No place to go yet. Yeah, it's Uncle William.
Yeah. Well, I hope Uncle William enjoys the show this evening. So I did watch Biden's speech that just happened, and I mean, at this point, I'm like, is this like obscure stand-up comedy? Like
absurdism.
Yeah, absurdism. There you go. It was the guy Andy Kaufman. It's almost like an Andy Kaufman bit with Biden's speech. And I'm going to talk about that later on in the show. What I want to start off talking about is something that has been going around Twitter that I just can't get my mind off of. And I think it's worth reading the entire article because it's extraordinary. It is that article that says, let's declare pandemic amnesty. I've seen a lot of comments about it on Twitter and whatnot, and I've commented, but I really want to go through and read this article to you, and I just want to react to it. And if there's anybody in the chats, you guys react to it as well. But man, the audacity of this person to write this article, the way they wrote it, blows my freaking mind. I guess it doesn't blow my mind anymore. She's got to be some operative. Either she's the dumbest person on the planet, or she's a psychological warfare operative. It's one of the two.
Right.
Here it is. It's from The Atlantic. You can stop me whenever you want, Cam, if you...
Okay, you're good.
If you have a comment, because I'm sure that you will.
I already did it once, on Twitter, at least.
Let's declare a pandemic amnesty. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID, by Emily Austere. And then there is a weird photo of, like, it looks like a what you would see in like Renaissance painting or something, with a woman wearing a mask and a guy not wearing it, and they're both holding a leaf together because I guess they're uniting again. Here's the beginning of the article here. It's not a very long article. Starts off by saying, in April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself hiking. They wore cloth masks. We had a family hand signal, which the person in the front would use if someone was approaching on the trail and we needed to put on our mask. So they created a hand signal to make sure everybody behind, they're not looking out for bears or alligators. They have a social distancing hand signal. I hope it's not the A-OK sign. I hope this isn't a racist family that we're reading here.
I hope it is.
It might be better. It goes on to say this. This is where I was like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with this woman? It says, once when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, and she has in all caps, social distancing exclamation point. Her 4-year-old child had been so conditioned by this woman that when he crossed a bridge that another child was crossing, he's trained himself. She's trained him to scream at the opposite sex when it comes near him. He's going to be a transgender, this kid, with the way that his mother has taught him to scream social distancing. The child then fell off the bridge onto the ground on top of her other child who also screamed social distancing. And then the child was, I don't know, maybe eaten by a bear or something.
Well, she said then 4-year-old, but she doesn't tell you is that he died of COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Someone came 5'11" from him and he
had a heart attack
and he died. Yeah.
He had a heart attack at 5'11". But can you imagine that though, that your kids have been trained to react reflexively? I mean, that's extraordinary to me. When you're younger, you see another kid, you usually talk to the kid, play with the kid. This kid screams social distancing at them. Unbelievable.
This guy's
going to be in high school.
Right. It's not much different than the kid screaming his preferred pronouns at the other kid.
Well, that was the next line. He then shouted, "They, them, you bitch." And then they had to go home. It continues, though. It gets even worse. So we have that revelation that that's what she taught her child. Then it says this. These precautions were totally misguided. In April of 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Yeah, no duh. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth mask made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is this. We didn't know. Well, how could you not know? Here's the thing. We did know, and they wouldn't let us talk about it online.
That's true. I don't know if you know this. Oh, yeah, there's another skull. If you want to see another one.
Nice.
Nice. But in 2020, okay, so before, wait, well, yeah, 2020, I had a show back in the day called Make Liberty Great Again. Very dorky, very political.
That's when you were a libertarian nerd.
Yeah, that's when I was a politics nerd. But no, so I had that group for 4 years, made some really good friends there, still talk to a lot of the people that I met in there. But we had been going for 4 years, started in 2016, and we were asking questions about cloth masks, which don't make any sense because I can blow, like if I take a hit of the vape, I can blow it through a cloth mask. But that's supposed to stop a microscopic organism? I don't think so. And so like we asked the very basic questions, just everything that they now admit, we were saying, either asking the questions or saying, this is stupid. There's no way this is true. And we lost it. A 4-year old Facebook group on the anniversary. Actually, wait, today is.
Oh, you got kicked off. You lost the Facebook
group. Lost the entire Facebook group on its 4th anniversary, October 31st, 2020.
Well, there's amnesty, though. Maybe they'll give you that group back because we have The Atlantic here admitting. So here's what we know about this writer so far. Her kid is trained to reflexively yell at other children social distancing, especially the opposite sex, and that they used to strap homemade old bandanas turned into cloth masks on their children while they hiked outside. So this is how intelligent this woman is. Now, knowing that, listen to this next part. I have been reflecting on this lack of knowledge thanks to a class I'm co-teaching at Brown University on COVID. She's a professor at Brown University? An Ivy League school?
That makes perfect sense. I mean, I don't know if you know the concept of the cathedral, Brad, but there are three legs to this stool: the state, the media, and academia. They were the progenitors of a lot of this stuff. Like, this is not surprising. They think that they can do it because they're so smart. Oh, Ivy League, go screw yourself, bro.
Can you imagine, like, your kid? I looked up how much the tuition is. It's $30,000 a semester. You're paying $60,000. Yeah, $60,000 a year to go have your kid be taught by someone who taught their kid to scream social distancing at other children on a bridge and to wear cloth masks while hiking outside. That should disqualify you from ever teaching. And if it doesn't, I want to get a job at Brown University, because if you're getting paid definitely six figures to just make kids be stupid, that's easy. I'll take that gig.
It actually reminds me, because you said that and you're like, oh, Brown University. I saw a tweet from someone. Okay, where's Carrie Lake running? Is that Arizona? Maricopa Carrie or Lake. Something? I'm not
sure. Shut up, you got Carrie fake Lake. News. So Carrie right. Lake, she's got that real saucy attitude.
I'm a Trump lady. She's like trying to be Lady
Trump. She is kind of a Lady Trump, and she talks like this all the time. She's very smooth. Dude, you're the stupidest reporter I've ever met in my life.
But she was at... her opponent, I forget her name. I found it. Katie Hobbs tweeted on Halloween, Carrie Lake calls the media the enemy of the people. I couldn't disagree more. I think free and fair press is essential to our democracy. My very candid and sweet response was, I think you're right. The media isn't the enemy of the people. The definite article is way too restrictive. There are many enemies of the people, and you are one of them. You're welcome, Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, absolutely. She should send her children to Brown University. $60,000 a year. And these kids go to this school, And they'll get this entitlement because they think I went to Brown University, an Ivy League school, where I learned how to relive the pandemic, because this is what she was doing in her class. So you're at home doing Zoom school, right? In college, missing out on the college experience. And then you get this teacher. And what she did was, you know, she said she'd been reflecting. She said, "We've spent several lectures reliving the first year of the pandemic, discussing the many important choices we had to make under conditions of tremendous uncertainty." What's going on in this class with this very stupid person teaching? are they doing Zoom class? Like, everybody pretend you're at home again. We're going to relive the first year of the pandemic. You all have to stay 6 feet away from each other, wear masks that don't work. Here, I made some. I have some that I made from home for my children you guys can wear. And we're going to do a Zoom lecture. I'm going to make all of you stupider. She should be fired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but she's doing the job.
That's true.
She was hired to do. So yeah, I mean, she should be fired. But yeah, I mean, like, right, yeah. we're talking in a world that doesn't exist, because if that world existed, student loans wouldn't be a thing, because colleges would have to compete to get you to go to them, and Ivy League schools would have to be good and not stupid with stupid professors in order to make any money.
I mean, this changed my whole perspective of an Ivy League school. It's definitely, it dumbs it down a little bit. So these, but you're right though. It's perfect. These kids, they're leaving school, if this is the type of education they're getting, thinking that they're the smartest people on the planet and nobody's smarter than them. Yet they're clearly the dumbest people on the planet. Yet they're going to be too stubborn and egocentric to ever realize that. And they'll be the most easily propagandized group of people on Earth. And that is what they're creating through these Ivy League schools.
See, well, that's the thing. I've had conversations with people. There was one person I know that kept saying over and over again that she didn't understand why these people that she knew that were doctors or engineers, or really just doctors, I think is what she was talking about, were so smart, but you know, they were so stupid. They were so progressive. They did this, that, and the other. And I was like, hold up. These people aren't, it's not that they're so smart that they can't think about anything else. It's that they've had more indoctrination training than any of us. Like, a doctor at the end of his schooling, especially if they have like two or three degrees, stuff like that, they have had more propaganda than anyone else on the planet. Bar
none. Totally. Absolutely. And this woman here who teaches at this Ivy League school, she's talking about this pandemic amnesty, but she just told us a moment ago that her child, who's 4 years old, that's when the brain gets formed. Your personality gets formed. You have traumatic memories of things that happened there. And he is reflexively screaming, she put in all caps, social distancing, when a woman, a girl his age, comes nearby. That's going to have lasting psychological impact, social impact. This is going to be a weird transgender kid when he gets older because of his mom forcing this stuff on him.
I mean, and not just like a transgender, a weird transgender kid. So weird, probably a furry, because not, you know, that mask. That mask thing, right. That costume they put on when he was 4, that's going to go in here. That's going to become a whole thing.
But who's going to walk him, though? Because it's going to have to be like a long leash, because you have to social
obviously his mommy.
Of course. That's, I didn't think of that. Right, continuing with the article here. She said, "We had important choices to make under conditions of tremendous uncertainty. Some of those choices turned out to be better than others. To take an example close to my own work," her own work, "this is an emerging, if not universal, consensus that the schools in the U.S. were closed for too long. The health risk of in-school spread were relatively low, whereas the cost of students' well-being and educational progress were high. The latest figures on learning loss are alarming. But in the spring and summer of 2020, we had only glimmers of information. We didn't have enough information. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers advocated for both sides of the reopening debate." See, this is like a weird false choice here, because these schools are bad anyway. So it's not bad to not be in the schools if you're getting education elsewhere, but to not be in the schools for the purpose that they had them not be in the schools is what's wrong. So that's the assumption she races past on that one. And then she continues with another example.
Did you hear she said on both sides?
Yeah, both sides.
People on both sides. This is, I mean, I know the whole thing's about amnesty because they're looking for mercy. We don't need mercy. They do.
I don't think they are looking for mercy, though. That's why I wanted to read this whole thing, because they're clearly not looking for mercy. This is all complete BS the further we get into it. It goes on to say that Another example, when the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive data on the relative efficacies of the Johnson & Johnson shot versus the mRNA options from Pfizer and Moderna. Another false choice coming here. The mRNA vaccines have won out. Oh, have they? You know, I guess if I got punched in the left testicle and then punched in the right testicle, one of them would hurt less and therefore win out, if that's the reasoning she's using there. But then she goes on to say that, but at the time, many people in public health were either neutral or expressed a J&J preference. This mishap wasn't nefarious. It was the result of uncertainty.
Oh, these bastards.
This is not someone who wants amnesty at all right here, because, you know, that might not have been.
She's damning the impure ones. She's damning the ones that didn't go fully into the mRNA. Oh, my God. Yes, we need. And Johnson & Johnson, from my understanding, is the one that doesn't have the myocarditis risk that the rest of
them do. That's the blood clot risk is why people didn't get that one. So that is the one they focus on. We stop the one with the blood clot risk, but we ignore all the side effects of the other one. So maybe that misstep wasn't nefarious in the results of uncertainty, as she said. But what was nefarious was the testing the mRNA vaccine on the youngest, healthiest people for a brief period of time to pump up their data, specifically excluding the older, vulnerable people due to the risk and because you didn't want to mess up your efficacy data, and then turning right around and giving the vaccine to the very people you excluded first and foremost when you rolled it out. Because you did a live test on old people that you excluded. That was nefarious. Oh, and the part where you shamed people into thinking that they had to get the vaccine or they would die, that was nefarious. There's the part where you wouldn't let people in to see their mothers and grandmothers when they were in hospitals or nursing homes. That was pretty nefarious. There was a part where you attempted to shame people who weren't vaccinated, outcast them, have them lose their job, call them Nazis. Or the part where you gave donuts and hookers to people to try and get them to have vaccines, that was pretty nefarious. The part where you had to try to manipulate minorities, black people, try to tell them the Tuskegee Project, that everything's better from that, even though John Hopkins, the same organization, was behind that. That was kind of a little bit nefarious. Colbert parading people out, adult human beings wearing giant needle suits dancing around. That was a little bit nefarious. I mean, we could go on to the nefarious stuff all day long here. But this woman wants us to believe that none of the mistakes were nefarious.
Right. Well, but she's not talking about their mistakes. The mistakes she's talking about are those who didn't go full on to their agenda, which was mRNA, which was these different aspects of it. It's like, it wasn't cloth masks. You needed to wear the other ones that don't work, that look more medical. Like,
right.
N95? Like, what?
Yeah. Wait, do you hear like the closing line of this whole article?
This is an inquisition.
I know, it really is. It really totally is. And she says, obviously, some people intended to mislead and made wildly irresponsible claims. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? No, actually, I don't remember that, because they didn't have to do that. The only reason they did that was because they were trying to propagandize the public into believing that Trump said something that he never said. So that's the only reason they tried to manifest that reality through propaganda. So no, I don't remember any of that.
But Trump told them to eat fish cleaner. So clearly,
And he led an insurrection too. Like, he was on a horse, and he had fire. And she said that was bad. Misinformation was and remains a huge problem. Huge. But errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. Given the amount of uncertainty, almost every position was taken on every topic, and on every topic, someone was eventually proved right, and someone else proved wrong. In some instances, the right people were right for the wrong reasons. Oh, so the anti-vaxxers, I guess, were right for the wrong reasons because they're bad people. In other instances, they had a prescient understanding of the available information. Either idiot or bad person.
She's a bad person. Just I don't like to be the negative, you know, Debbie Downer, but this is a bad person talking. This is not a stupid person. She works at Brown.
I mean, until earlier, I might have said that's a respectable job, but after reading this article, not anymore.
No, here's the deal. I didn't know that you had any positives to say about the Ivy League schools at all.
I mean, I would think like intellectually, maybe they do some philosophy there. I didn't realize they spent their college courses, you know, LARPing the pandemic.
That's the thing. That's what they do. If you look at the universities, that's where the new ideas come up. That's where they try their ideas. They try their new, you know, CRT.
Right.
What's the other one? There was one that was super nefarious. They tried the white fragility. They tried all of that different stuff.
They scream
in the colleges. Distancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see the people that fought the most about like pronoun laws were people at Ivy League schools?
No, yeah. You get it. If your roommate in college becomes trans, you get all A's next semester.
I don't know if you're making the joke that I think you're making, but that's wonderful. Yes, what you just did. But look at it. You have to see. They test it out on people who've been indoctrinated for long periods of times, not children who can still be like, that doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Because if you go up to a child and you say, you can be a boy or a girl and change, a child is going to say, but a boy has a pee-pee and a girl has a vagina. Like, right.
Well, her child can scream social distancing if you go up to it.
Right, because that child has been propagandized from its birth. But look at it. That's what happens. They test it on them, and then they send it down to the high schools, and then they send it down to the elementary schools. The stuff that you see, the propaganda that is given in the media starts in the universities.
Right.
I'm telling you.
No, I know. You're right. It starts in the Ivy League stuff. That's where they're indoctrination centers. I don't think smaller schools are as much. They're kind of trickling down there.
It depends.
But yes, they definitely up there with those elitist. And let's continue. Some more stuff.
Sorry.
No, you're good. It's great. I knew this would evoke a reaction, so that's why I wanted to go through it. It goes on to say that the people who got it right for whatever reason may want to gloat. Those who got it wrong for whatever reason may feel defensive and retrench in a position that doesn't accord with the facts. All of this gloating and defensiveness continues to gobble up a lot of social energy and drive the culture wars, as though this article doesn't do that, especially on the internet. These discussions are heated, unpleasant, and ultimately unproductive. In the face of so much uncertainty, getting something right had a hefty element of luck or research or actual research. Like I read the Pfizer study documents. So I knew that it hadn't been studied on the people they were going to roll it out to. So it's called actual research, lady, not luck. And similarly, getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. Now, it was oftentimes an intentional failing, shifting the goalposts, Fauci blatantly lying to people, treating the pandemic choices as a scorecard on which some people racked up more points than others is preventing us from moving forward. How about a lot of people have died because of the BS? Is that maybe preventing some people from moving forward because they lost loved ones because of this BS? This, then she says,
this is the entire point of the article. This is a scorecard. That's what this article is.
The entire point of the article is to tell us that it's like the acceptable Republican versus the election denier Republican. Acceptable Republican, okay. Election denier, still evil. We are still evil when this article wraps up.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're questioning the vaccine. She says, we have to put these fights aside and declare pandemic amnesty. We can leave out the willful poor. Oh, this is it. We can leave out the willful purveyors of actual misinformation while forgiving the hard calls that people have no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. Los Angeles County closed its beaches in 2020. Ex post facto, this makes no more sense than my family masking up for hiking trips. But we need to learn from our mistakes and then let them go. This is so stupid.
Where was the skate park? Do you remember the skate park?
They cemented it in? Were they basketball goals down?
They filled it with sand.
Yeah, it's probably in California, I'm sure. But so listen to how she frames herself here. We need to forgive the attacks too, because I thought schools should reopen and argued that kids as a group were not at a high risk. I was called a teacher killer and Jenna Dyer. It wasn't pleasant, but feelings were high. So she was one of the radicals who was questioning things. This woman is trying to make herself out to be that. This is crazy. And I certainly don't need to dissect and rehash that time for the rest of my days. Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should ask some more questions because you're not.
Maybe you should ask for forgiveness from the Lord, woman.
She needs to do something here. Then she goes on to talk about how test scores are in decline because of this, talking about the public education system, people neglecting their health care. And then she goes, rather than debating the role that messaging about COVID vaccines had the mess that the role that messaging about COVID vaccines had in this decline in education vaccinations, regular vaccinations for kids. We need to get together and work hard to pull those vaccination rates back up. Pediatricians and public health officials will need to work together on community outreach, and politicians will need to consider school mandates. So she's calling for mandates. In this article where she starts off saying we need amnesty, COVID forgiveness, she actually calls for mandates. I mean, how twisted is that little psychological operation right there to call for mandates in an article titled "We Need Amnesty"? It's impressive. It's impressive to have that kind of audacity there. And finally, she wraps it up by saying the standard saying is that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it, but dwelling on the mistakes of history can lead to a repetitive doom loop as well. And let's acknowledge that we made complicated choices in the face of uncertainty and then try to work together to build back and move forward. She almost threw a build back better in there at the same time. So that article to me was like, it's like if somebody raped you and then your rapist comes up to you and is like, look, we need to forgive each other we were in the dark when this happened about rape, and it is time that we just, you know, bygones be bygones, rape amnesty. There was nothing nefarious about this rape here. As a trans woman, how could I have known that you would be offended by my external vagina when I didn't think a woman could rape another woman? I'm new to this. Let's shake hands and move on.
What this is like is like the rapist being like, so, you know, we need amnesty for this, because, you know, one time when I was raping a girl, I pulled her hair and I didn't realize that was bad. And so that, I pulled her hair and I'm humble. I'm a bad person too. But, you know, rape, we should give amnesty for rape. Like,
right. We all did bad things during that time, that very dark time. You know, I didn't know you didn't like my external vag. You misgendered me. I think it's square. So let's go ahead and shake hands and move on. All right. So that story, I encourage everybody to read that article. I read most of it. I skipped a few paragraphs, but a lot of people sharing that around, I think, without having reading it. So it's just kind of like, they want amnesty. They don't get amnesty. No, they don't want amnesty. They're not asking for amnesty. We're still the bad guys in their little twisted world. And she calls for mandates in her freaking amnesty article. So Joe Biden gave a speech. And
why?
Because he had to come out and say the same thing Hillary Clinton said on MSNBC last night, because they're pushing this narrative. And I knew they were going to do this. This whole Pelosi thing. This is why I said this to you off air the other day, Cam, this is why I wasn't making any of the jokes about the hammer and stuff, because I'm like, something's not right here. This is a setup, this story, and they're trying to bait people into mocking it, which is fine. And I don't even know if it matters, but they just are looking for fuel to be able to say, see, look how wrong and how bad the right wingers are and how evil they are, to try and scare people into voting for Democrats next week, and to making people think that their Republican friends are literally Satan and the devil. And both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, Bill Maher, everybody else on the planet who's bought into the propaganda or captured by it is spreading this exact same message. It's unbelievable how identical the phrasing is. I'm going to play you just the beginning of Biden's speech, which is just, and it cracks me up, dude. He said this the other day. I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that "Where's Nancy" is a racist dog whistle?
It is, because they said it at the insurrection.
Yeah, they said it at the insurrection. So I'm going to pop Biden up here on the screen so we can hear. I'll play just the first 2 minutes of his speech, because that's where the really good stuff is. You know, he opens up on fire quite often, Biden does. And in there. All right. So this is the beginning of the speech that Biden gave tonight on democracy. It's always on democracy, whatever that means. Well, let's go ahead and skip to where he comes in. Well, I didn't realize it didn't start. at the beginning because I turned it on right when it started. All right. So this is going to be a second while this loads.
Of course.
Perfect timing.
So here's the thing that I had the other day. I don't know why people listen to actors or actresses whatsoever, but I saw one the other day, or a day, or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And did you know that Anne Hathaway, like the short-haired blonde broad at the Academy Awards or whatever, has decided that she needs to talk about abortion? Because, you know, we talk about abortion every day.
Yeah, I saw that she made some weird comment about it. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, so what she said was that abortion can be another word for mercy. And so I just called, and anyone who's listening, if you want to join, right. I'm calling for more, because I think we should make up some other stupid, crazy statements that actors could say that are like this. I went first, which was slavery can be another word for gainful employment.
That's true. That's
I mean,
true. I mean, if you listen to Kanye before everybody, you know, decided that he was the worst person on the planet, Kanye, that's kind of what Kanye said, is that we're all slaves to the system that we're in. He's not, you know, he's not necessarily wrong in that. All right. I think I have the, yeah, here it is right here. Let me get this up on screen. He did. All right.
I will say, so one of my favorites was old Greg said, rape can be another word for showing affection.
Yes. Well, I don't know that I agree with that, but I definitely get the concept of it. All right. Here is Biden opening speech tonight. Look at him. He looks like he's asleep.
He wishes he was asleep.
Man smashed the back windows and broke into the home of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the third highest ranking official in America.
This is how he opened, by the way. What the F, dude? They don't want us to watch it. Were they trying to censor Biden's speech?
They should. Did you see that they tried to censor something he said the other day? Did you see this, Brad? I have things in the chamber for when we have things like this happen.
Yeah. All right, here it is right here.
Yeah, you got it?
I thought I did. But it's like not for some reason.
If not,
this is disappointing.
The White House account, aka Joe Biden, tweeted the other day. It said seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership. This was the first time I've ever seen this, but they did a fact check on this tweet.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I heard about that.
Yeah, it said seniors will receive, fact check, here's some context if you want to know this. Seniors will receive a large Social Security benefit increase due to the annual cost of living adjustment, which is based on the inflation rate. President Nixon in 1972 signed into law automatic benefit adjustments tied to the consumer price index.
I mean, they used to fact check Trump all the time.
Right. Well, and that's what was funny is if you saw like Twitter, they were like, I can't believe they're fact checking Biden. They knew what he meant by this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, technically, yes, by his leadership and his Inflation Reduction Act, inflation got so high that the old people got a little extra on their check.
What did he say the other day? He said that when he came into office, gas prices were at $5, which is totally a lie.
Right. Well, I mean, what was the, like, every time he talks about growing jobs and stuff, it's like, yeah, you had job growth because y'all shut everything down and those people went back to work. These aren't new jobs.
Right. And a lot of people died. So they need to hire people to move bodies and bury bodies and whatnot. Hopefully this works this time. If not, then we'll move on.
A man smashed the back windows and broke into the home of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the third highest ranking official in America. He carried in his backpack zip ties, duct tape,
zip ties, rope, just
and a hammer.
This was a
As
plan,
he told the police,
bruh.
He'd come looking for Nancy Pelosi to take her hostage, to interrogate her, to threaten to break her kneecaps. But she wasn't there. Her husband, my friend, Paul Pelosi,
his buddy,
was home alone. The assailant tried to take Paul hostage. He woke him up. He wanted to tie him up. The assailant ended up using a hammer to smash Paul's skull. Thankfully, by the grace of God, Paul survived. All this happened after the assault, and it just, it's hard to even say. After the assailant entered the home asking, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?"
This is the best part.
Those are the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol on January the 6th.
The mob, like the New York
mob? They broke
mob?
Windows, kicked in the doors, brutally attacked law enforcement, roamed the corridors, hunting for officials, and erected gallows to hang the former Vice President, Mike Pence.
This is the speech he's giving tonight.
It was an enraged mob that had been whipped up into a frenzy.
What kind of world are we living in?
By the president repeating over and over again.
Where's Nancy?
Big lie.
Oh, the big lie.
That the election of 2020 had been stolen.
Okay, so all about election deniers. But what a nice segue there. They couldn't come up with a better segue than Where's Nancy to link these right. two together?
Well, I mean, like, obviously, answer my question, Joe Biden. Why was dude in his underwear? Can you tell me that? Can you tell me why he was in his whitey tidies? Yeah, just magical nudist Trump supporter looking to interrogate Nancy. Come on.
Yeah. The thing that...
Man down.
So, to me, the timing of it is obviously suspicious. And what's also... The stuff everybody's talking about, maybe it's a gay lover. I don't think that's the case. I think that that's probably not the case. I think that it's more likely that he didn't get hit at all. Unless I see a video of him actually getting hit... And I heard them talking about the video. There was somebody on CNN and they were asking, well, can you see the video or what do you see in it? And the person who was describing it was reluctantly saying, well, you kind of see one hit, but you don't see all that much. So I could tell by the way they were describing the video, which is the only video they have of it, that you see absolutely nothing in this video.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they'll make it public and they'll give us a bunch of context into our heads to make us think we see something before. But I have a feeling that if it does ever get out, because they want to make people look foolish for making fun of this, so they can, as I said earlier, say, look at the bad, evil guys, don't vote for them. But the odds of this happening a week before the midterm elections, that seems a bit strange to me. And it also seems a bit strange to me, the way they're talking about this, that a man who is in his 80s gets smashed in the skull by a hammer, and he's going to fully recover and be fine.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's not a grave injury. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, my skull just fell from just that high, and look what happened to him.
Is that Pelosi's skull?
This is Paul Pelosi. Yeah.
Paul Pelosi. You better take it back to him. You're going to be accused of stealing classified documents.
Here's the thing, though. Paul's obviously not awake, so how am I going to find him if I can't ask where's Nancy? Like, this is...
You can't say where's Nancy. I saw a kid across the street. I heard him shout, "Where's Nancy?" And I don't give a rat's ass that hammer he was carrying was plastic. That little toddler is going to get alerted to the FBI. I don't care. I'm looking for my sister. Shut up, kid. Shut up, you racist Nazi.
Dude, those kids in Stranger Things are in trouble.
It's just, I know it's propaganda and I know it's stupid, but it's so hard not to take the bait on it. Like, I wanted to jump in and make hammer jokes just because if he actually got hit in the head by a hammer by somebody, even if he is an alcoholic and they do insider trading and steal a whole bunch of money and whatever,
insider trading,
I would still want him to be okay. Do what?
Oh, no. I thought you were saying that's what they call their David and Paul's escapades. They're insider trading.
I mean, the stock. I personally don't think, I don't think it's a gay thing at all. I think that that was the bait that they put out there. And Elon, which I'm going to play you the compliment. This is another reason what I'm about to play you of why I think that this was a setup. I don't think it happened at all. I don't think he got hit. I think the whole thing is made up.
Yeah.
And they might have a camera. They might have somebody there. But I just don't believe any of this story. And I think it was all just put there because Nancy Pelosi, nobody's really alarmed. That's what's strange to me. Nobody seems to actually be alarmed.
Are you trying to tell me that Nancy Pelosi doesn't have at her house a security detail?
Well, they just came out and said that the Secret Service cameras were on him and it did capture the guy coming in, but nobody was watching it, is what they said.
Right. Convenient. Just like Wait, hold on a second.
Anthony in the chat here says that Miley Bobby Brown from Stranger Things is a flat earther.
Bobby Brown's a flat earther?
She's going to get canceled from, you can't, I mean, they, when Kyrie Irving talked about that and stuff like, anything Kyrie Irving talks about, they make fun of him and they try and silence him. What, Stephon Curry, he came out and talked about the flat earth a few years ago, and then somebody got to him and he just shut up and he quit talking about anything. So that's, I did not know that. That's interesting. Maybe that show.
Well, she's friends with, she was being groomed by Drake, so I'm sure that's where she got it from.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. All right, so before we get to the XR, I do want to do a couple more clips for you. Okay. And so Any Word says in the chats, what if the ghost of Pulp Fiction Gimp escaped from John's dungeon? Perhaps. That's what it kind of comes off as. It's like a Gimp thing. Somebody's wearing him. It just seems like such a, it seemed like they were baiting us to make the gay connection there. It's just what it seems like. And I think the whole thing's made up. And we'll probably all forget about it in 2 weeks when some other weird thing happens. So Hillary was on. She's been going around again, starting to wonder if she's going to run again. And she.
Oh, my God.
I said, go for it. Bring her back. Bring her back. Why not?
I want that. But why I said, oh, my God, was people were going to talk about how she's too old now. But now with Biden,
now she's a youngin. She's a young hottie now.
I mean,
and we also have stroke victims running for office, and Herschel Walker also. So I think really anybody can, you can do anything in this world at any age.
Anything.
That's what we're learning here.
Anything.
All right. So here's Hillary. No, it's not Hillary. That's the wrong one. Excuse me. This is Hillary on with, what is this? MSNBC, the black woman on Joy. Reed.
Joyanne Reed.
Is what her name is. Yeah. And she's there. At first, she came on to talk about Ukraine, and she said that Ukraine's war is our war, which of course she did. Of course she did that. But now she's talking about election deniers in January 6th. And I got two clips for you. First one here, you can see the title there, where it's a Clinton. Ask voters, why would you trust someone who jokes about the violent attack on Paul Pelosi? Which is exactly what Biden just talked about in his speech. This is a coordinated messaging campaign. Is this frozen again? I'm going to hit myself in the head with an... I'm going to strip down to my underwear. I'm going to smash my skull with a hammer if this internet continues to stop working.
If you do that, I'm going to call you gay online, just so you're aware.
It's fine. I don't care.
Montage, because if any,
this is so frustrating.
You too, man.
You know, let's see if I can find it on the website. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's going on. My internet is slow tonight or what.
She's so horrible looking.
Understand.
So you obviously can't hear that. Cam, is your internet working fine? Is this just me?
YouTube
is popping up.
Nancy Pelosi's life as a full-time hate object of the right, it would be you. And so I wonder if you can just, you know, tell me how the attack on Paul Pelosi struck you, and what did it tell you about the state of the right in this country and the hate toward a powerful woman?
Oh!
Well, I think your question kind of answers itself, Joy. There's always been a streak of violence, of racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, as you said.
Of course.
But I think what we're seeing today, and it has certainly been thrown into very high relief by the horrific attack on Paul Pelosi, is not just an aberration where one or two people or a small group engage in that kind of violent rhetoric and urge people to take action against political figures like her, like me, like others. We're seeing a whole political party and those who support it, those who enable it, those who run under its banner, engaging in behavior that is so dangerous and I find frankly disqualifying for people who are running for office. You know, this midterm election, we've seen a lot of ads by Republicans running for everything, touting crime. Crime is the issue. But when an 82-year-old man is attacked by an intruder in his own home, they don't seem to be too bothered by that, because that person is married to the Speaker of the House, who's of a different political party. I just want your viewers, and really I would like every American, just to stop and think about that. This is the kind of violent rhetoric that leads to violent action, that props up authoritarians, and that's unfortunately what we see the Republican Party today supporting.
You know, okay, so there we go. It's about going ahead, and she might as well have wrapped that up by said, they're all a basket of deplorables, the alt-right. Just go ahead and repeat the speech that she gave in 2016 when she was running, because that's what this is all about. It's about trying to do that again. By the whole party under that banner, they're just awful because they're making these jokes. Well, I want to share this with you real quick, because I did recall she was talking about humanity and how could they possibly do that. I remember this interview that Hillary did some years back that I think is worth looking at here.
Super predators?
Let me see. No, not super predators, dude. Here we go.
So, I mean, that is the way. Yes, we came, we saw, he died. Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
Okay, so there she is speaking to us about humanity and laughing about something that I don't even believe actually happened personally. But like I said, I admire her ability to just cold-heartedly lie. I mean, I don't admire that, because I don't know how you do that with a conscience. But I mean, look at her face. She's so serious. She's so green with that outfit. It's like she has Stacey Abrams stylist with that wardrobe she's wearing there. But what I want you to hear,
be the president of Earth.
Right. She's jealous. She's like, why wasn't I cast as the president of Earth? This next clip here is when Elon Musk comes up. And I found this a little bit suspicious here, because I don't know that this is the kind of attention that Elon Musk really wants to have. And here it is.
And to your very point, right, this attacker allegedly confessed to police that his plan was to kidnap Paul Pelosi to wait for Nancy Pelosi to...
With zip ties, by the way. Nice little wrinkle throwing that in.
...to come home. And then to hold her hostage, to break her kneecaps if she didn't tell whatever truth it is he thought he could get out of her. And then use her as a symbol to everyone else as to what would be in store for them if they didn't behave as his, you know, sort of right-wing conspiracy theory mind believed they should. I mean, if you think about it, this was a kidnapping plot that was directed at the sitting Speaker of the House. And yes, her husband is the victim of it, because he happened to be her husband and happened to be home. And yet.
Yeah. And he happened to also be an alcoholic who's caused a lot of trouble, who they said, look, you're going to do this for us, Paul, because we're certainly not going to let Nancy be there and have this happen. This was an operation. This was an acting gig. Maybe they did a little physical violence to make it seem more real. There's nothing about this that is legitimate.
No.
Now, the person who now solely owns Twitter, which, like it or not, is still a giant global public marketplace of ideas, promote lies about what happened to Paul Pelosi, promote conspiracy theories about it, with the reach that he has and the fact that his...
The Elon Musk tweet is on screen right now, where Elon responded to Hillary's comment, which I found this interaction strange when I saw it. Hillary said something about Paul Pelosi. Musk replied by saying there's a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. And when I saw that link that he tweeted, I was like, that looks like a totally bogus link. That looks like something I wouldn't want to click on, because it's going to give my computer COVID or something. And I clicked on it anyway. And it is. It's one of those websites that's like obviously not a legitimate website. Yeah. It's obviously not something that you're going to get a bunch of different ads, and you're probably going to, computer's going to slow down like mine when you click on that website. So it was strange to begin with, and now they're commenting on this on MSNBC.
You know, he and the Saudis own this thing, and that was blasted out to all of his followers and to the world. We're not even in an age of reality
at
that point.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, to his credit, he took that down. I don't see Republicans running for the Congress or governors. And
when has Hillary Clinton ever been known to say, to his credit, he took that down? If that were Trump or somebody else and they took something down, do you think she's going to say, to his credit? I mean, she just blazed right by, to his credit, he's fine. He took that down. There's something else going on here.
To his credit, we met that one time on Epstein Island.
I'm telling you, this right here, to me, completely discredit. Well, not completely, but it makes, I already had a little bit of suspicion about Elon Musk and what was going on. Now I have a very, very high, insane level of suspicion when you have Hillary Clinton saying, oh, it's okay. Because if you think about what he tweeted, he was tweeting, it's a small possibility. And the article included was the gay theory. So it was the horrible theory that Biden talked about in his speech that they've been talking about. And Elon Musk tweets it, but it's okay for him because he took it down. So there's something a little, I think Elon Musk is also playing a part here.
Absolutely.
And any word says, how do we know it's even the real Hillary? It might be a deep fake. We don't. We have no
I mean,
idea.
If it were a deep fake, don't you think they'd fix those bags under her eyes? Like, they pretend that she didn't look as horrible.
Got to seem legitimate, though. You know,
yeah, but they can pretend that she hasn't aged that much since 2016.
I mean, she's like in her mid 70s, right?
Right, but so is what's her name, Jane Seymour, right?
Well, I don't know what Jane Seymour really looks like. I've only seen her with a makeup face on. And everything.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
you want to put her up? Well, you know, I think that if you put too much makeup on a person as Hillary's age, then the makeup becomes a focus and you don't hear what they say. So I think you have to present it naturally.
That's why you have to deep fake it and just, you know, give a little love to the eye bags.
But I think the genuine deep fake has to have the eye bags so that it's believable, so that we have this conversation about whether or not it's a deep fake.
That's true.
Because if it's too good, it's too obvious. All right. So before we get to the final story of the day, which is just going to be a quick little clip of Stacey Abrams threatening. I was going to play this when we were on with Shane the other day, but I forgot to play this one. And man, this woman says some stuff when she is giving speeches to activists that she never says on television. And that's what I'm going to play for you before we get out of here. I want to tell you what we're going to talk about in the XR, which is going to be how Bill Maher is not as woke as everybody seems to think he is. And he made that abundantly clear today. And we might also talk about a very interesting marriage that I discovered that, quite honestly, if this is real, I my mind is blown if this is a real marriage. We'll see what you think, Cam. If you want to get access to that content, you can go to patreon.com/propagandareport and subscribe there. That is the subscriber-only content. What you will get is you will get the DMB XR as well as this show, the DMB ad-free. I take the ads out for all subscribers. You get them both into your own personal RSS feed. And that's it. And then we go in. We do about 15, 20 minutes talking of the extra content. So check it out. Patreon.com/propagandareport. Propagandafight.com. www.propagandafight.com. Check it out. And you can also leave a 5-star review and a warm comment to help morale stay high and keep us motivated, because it always does help me very much to see things like that, and definitely keeps me motivated and pumped up. So thank you guys in the chats.
Be mean to me. I like that.
No, don't be mean to Cam. Don't be mean to Cam. He doesn't like that. Nobody does. Yeah. And thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties today. Oh, and I do want to tease that I am putting together Abrams' expose as much as one as possible as I can do before the elections. I'm just putting together all of the research I've done from 2018 now, that some of it on WSB. It's a bunch of stuff nobody's really heard before. I'm going to try and
put
it together.
Did you find the clip from her mom?
Yes, I did. I did find a clip from her mom. Awesome. And that will be in there. And this one I'm going to play for you. It might be in there. It might not be, but it's definitely going to be in the show because I have to play it for you guys. And that's what we're going to do now. This is Stacey Abrams giving a speech at Spelman. She's a keynote speaker. Spelman College is where she went to college, where she led the Rodney King riots in 1992, which I prove during this expose that I'm going to be releasing hopefully tomorrow. That's not Stacey Abrams on screen. That is an athletic woman doing athletic things. Stacey Abrams is about to be on screen. And
I don't even need to speak and just Go for it.
Yeah, I don't even need to set this up. It speaks for itself.
When I was 17, then 18, I was in the college lab.
All right. I have two clips here. Excuse me. I blew my wad. This first clip is not the one I was just teasing. This is a different one, but also good.
The computer lab. Because I had another ambition. I was dating this guy named Chad. We won't talk too much
about
him. But he broke up with me. And he told me that I was too involved in other things. I didn't pay enough attention to him. So I cried. I may have plotted a little bit. And then I went to the computer lab. And that day I put together a spreadsheet of all of the things I was going to do to show him he was wrong for letting me go.
This girl is a psychopath.
Yeah.
On my spreadsheet, Dr. Campbell, I said one day I will write a best-selling novel. I said I would become a millionaire by the age of 30. I was way off.
Yeah. George Soros might disagree.
I said that I would become the mayor of the city of Atlanta because that was the highest ambition I could imagine for a black woman in politics. I wrote it down. Okay. And for the next 25 years, I nurtured and cultured that list. I changed some of the words. I rearranged some of the dates.
Just to be clear, a guy broke up with her somewhere between the age of 17 and 18 in the computer lab. And then she sat down and make a list to prove him wrong about all the things that she is going to be. And then she cultured that list that she made because of a breakup for the next 25 years. Seems normal.
The guy I was going to meet who was going to replace Chad still hasn't shown up, but he's still on the list.
Can you imagine dating Stacey Abrams? I was thinking about that when she said that. And I was trying to comprehend who is the guy that's going to be like, I mean, it's going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody that has that. But you have to have the combination of somebody who is just into NFL linebacker size woman, but also is subservient because that's what she commands. The man who she meets to replace Brandon, I would like to meet Brandon personally. Was that his name, Brandon?
Brandon.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon. Maybe it's Joe Biden.
I've been a woman my whole life.
No, you haven't.
We know, finally. It's clear.
Liar.
Yeah,
I need you all to be bold in your ambition. See, bold in my ambition.
All right, so this is how she does this in all of her activist speeches. She trains the people she's talking to.
And I need you to learn your lessons, not my losses. And last, I need you to know what you believe. Say, know what I believe? Don't believe too much.
It's interesting. All right, now this is the one that is, I believe it is.
See, when I stood for leader, when I asked my colleagues to let me have that job, I told them, look, I've been a minority for a very long time. I am really good at it.
That's what she does. That's identity politics. That is her. Here you go.
I understand what I believe.
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
All right. So this is one I played with Shane Hazel, and it's worth hearing again because I have it paired with the other one, unless I accidentally deleted the other one.
When I stood for office in 2006, I had a set of things I thought I knew to be true, but I was going to have the chance for the first time in my life to impose my truths on others.
God, that's so.
Is a very, very seductive notion. Being able to make other people do what you want, believe what you want, live as you would have them live.
I mean, this is somebody trying to win elected office saying these things. I mean, that's extraordinary to me. Now, listen to this one. I hope it's the right one.
I have very strong beliefs. I am so invested in my beliefs. I raise millions of dollars to make it so. That's a lot of begging.
I hope I didn't delete the wrong one. She doesn't beg. She gets it from George Soros.
When you know what you believe and you don't believe too much,
dadgummit,
you create space for growth and progress.
I did not cut the right freaking clip, and I blew that whole thing. So here's what she says. I'm just going to tell you. She says, right before she says the thing about being delirious with power, I can't believe I left that clip out. How did I do that? What she does is, she goes, and you bring them along. And next time, when you tell them what you want, you're bold and your ambition, and you bring them along with you. And if they don't come with you, you get rid of them altogether. You eliminate them altogether. I mean, she actually says that. She says they either come with you and agree with you, or you silence them, get rid of them altogether. And then she goes on to say the stuff about her lusting for power. And I'll have to play it on the next one because I teased it. And I really blew the technical side of today's show. I'm going to be honest with you. I give myself a D plus on the technology side today.
I give you a double D.
Thank you. I'll take that. I'll take that for sure. But let's go to the XR and hopefully my tech problems will not continue there and I will do better next time with the tech. So thank you guys for watching and have a fantastic rest of your day.